Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Advent meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who has sent each of us out to be his ambassadors, to proclaim a message of coming judgment and of final deliverance to fellow redeemed. Our scripture reading this evening needs an ending. What we heard was King Sennacherib's ambassador bringing a message to King Hezekiah and the people of Judah, a message of impending destruction, judgment, doom. King Sennacherib, through his ambassador, as we heard, mocked and ridiculed the Lord God Jehovah by saying, "As the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand." So bold and pompous and arrogant and proud they were. What God can save you now from the mighty Assyrians? In fact, the verses just prior to our scripture reading, they even were more bold in their bragging. We read, "Do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands in any way able to deliver their lands out of my hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people from my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you from my hand? Now therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or persuade you like this. Do not believe him, for no God of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand?" Was there any hope? Were God's people going to be destroyed? Was Judah doomed? Was Assyria that powerful? Was Hezekiah foolish to put all of his trust in the Lord Jehovah and encourage his people to do the same? Could God's people escape the judgment? Well, let's read what God said then to Hezekiah as a promise. "Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and he shall not come into the city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." An epic battle is about to take place. The powerful king of Assyria, who destroyed all the gods and nations of the world, and the Lord Jehovah. Who would win? Now that is a foolish question. We read, "And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, every mighty man of valor, leader, and captain in the camp of the king of Assyria. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed shamefaced and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh." But that's not all. "Now it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the temple of Nisroch his god, that his own sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. So now we jump 700 years to our sermon text, and we hear another one of God's ambassadors, Ambassador John the Baptist, who comes with a similar message: destruction, judgment, but also deliverance. He says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This Advent ambassador's message was very simple. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This Advent ambassador, John the Baptist, had some very harsh words to say to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came out to see him baptizing. He said, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'Oh, we have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." What a message of judgment. These smug people were so proud of their self-confidence and their own beliefs. And yet, they didn't have any repentance. There's no godly sorrow over their sins, no belief in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and therefore, they were doomed. They're all under God's wrath. And John did not mince any words. The Lord Jesus would clean house. He would take that winnowing fan that the farmer would use to clean out the threshing floor of this world. And all the worthless chaff would burn in unquenchable fire. He'd take his axe of the condemning law and cut down every single tree that does not bear fruit. And those two pictures are pictures of the coming eternal judgment that will befall all those who do not repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But these words also were meant not just for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but they're meant for us too, for you and for me, to lead us to also see in ourselves our own sins, our own shortcomings, and to realize that we can't put our confidence in our works, our coming to church, our offerings, our prayers, our kindness, our goodness, our love. We need to also repent of our sins in thought, word, and deed. For John's finger is pointing right at my sin. He's pointing right at your sin too. We live in a sin-saturated world, and yet a world that is so sinful and does not realize that the sin of this life is damnable before God. It lives upon sin as being the normal way of life, the way that all people live. And so in this sin-denying world, we need to see that John's finger is indeed pointing to our sins. We need that heavy law weighing down on our hearts. We need the Holy Spirit to bring out the bulldozer of repentance and level that mountain of my sins and of yours. Sinners all, let us repent. Reminded by these words that life is not a game. Life is indeed very serious. And therefore we must seriously examine each of our lives. The Lord who seeks to kindle the fire and the flame of faith in our hearts is the same one who controls the fire of judgment. And the last day, we're going to be standing with our Savior in eternal joy and happiness, or separated from our Savior in eternal damnation and suffering. What a blessing that John says in our text, that the Lord will gather his wheat into the barn. When we are led to repent of our sins, the fruit of repentance is faith in Jesus Christ. We're not worthless chaff. We're God's plant. We're his wheat. Hezekiah and his people were spared from the impending judgment and doom of the Assyrians because they turned from their sins, repented of their sins, trusted in the Lord's promise of deliverance. We are spared from the coming judgment of damnation by turning to our Lord, repenting of our sins, and believing in the promises of deliverance alone through Jesus. Advent is a season for repentance, because there is no other way to prepare for Jesus' coming. Without a knowledge of our sins, we miss the whole purpose of Jesus' birth, of his life, of his sacrifice, of his death, of his resurrection. If the Savior in the manger is going to mean anything to me, I need to realize how much I need him. With a repentant heart of godly sorrow over our sins and a confident trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, then at Christmas we receive him properly. Then you can clearly see John pointing to something else. Pointing to the Lamb of God, saying, look, the Lamb of God, he takes away your sin and the sin of the whole world. Advent also is the season for repentance because it's the only way that we can escape the judgment. You know, today, there's lots of pastors that don't want to talk about judgment, damnation, eternal death. It's not politically correct. They talk about peace and joy and love. But we need to remember that our sinful flesh needs to hear the condemning law every day of our lives. We need to be told that we, because of our sins, deserve eternal death and condemnation. As Advent ambassadors, we need to preach the very same thing. It's not easy, I know that. But it's essential. Look at this miserable cesspool of a world we live in. With all this sin. It needs to be pointed out to people. Sin damns. Sin condemns. God's wrath and condemnation are mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. Unless the Holy Spirit works repentance in the heart, the Holy Spirit cannot work faith in that same heart. So we need to ponder what Jesus saved us from, as well as what Jesus has saved us for, if we are to really appreciate our Savior's coming as a baby, his death on the cross, and are properly prepared for Christmas. He saved us from eternal damnation. He saved us from an eternal separation from our Heavenly Father. And he saved us for an eternal life of joy and happiness and eternity with him forever in peace and joy. May our Advent worship be one of continually praising our Lord and preparing ourselves by daily repentance of our sins and a continual hearing of that good news that all of our sins has been removed alone through Jesus Christ. And then as Advent ambassadors, may we take that same message of law and gospel, sin and grace, condemnation and salvation, and tell it to our friends and our family members and our relatives and our classmates and our fellow workers and our business associates. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our coming Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.